The first sermon I ever preached was in the summer of 2010. It was on the Arizona Show Your Papers Law Bill, SB 1070, I think it was. And it was not in my home congregation. It was in the UU Church of Silver Spring, Maryland, a congregation I did not know. I mean, I knew of them, right? And so I chose as my texts a text from Revelation and a text from Leviticus because, you know, if you're going to do something in a church you don't know, be bold. Right? In a UU church. And I think it worked. I mean, people. People sometimes get confused about politics and church. Religion is political. It is not, it should not be in the United States partisan, but it is by its nature political. And I chose texts this morning from the U.S. Constitution. What has that got to do with anything? Well, because we cannot but help engage with the world, unless we want to be Amish, right? Remove ourselves from the world, and theologically Amish, remove ourselves from the world. The world is too corrupt. We need to remove ourselves from it and exist on our own and not engage at all. We are called, our religion, whatever that religion is, our religion calls us to engage in the world and to be political. And I didn't choose a specifically religious text this morning, a theological text this morning, partly because there are so many to choose from. I could have picked a text from the Bible or the Quran or the Bhagavad Gita or any number of religious texts that teach us how to engage the world, how to be with one another, and how to engage the powers in the world, and how to speak up for others, how to engage conflict in the world. Now, we've been talking about conflict all month here. And it's important to know about conflict individually before we go out and engage in the world in any sort of way, because at its core, everything is relational. Many of you, how many of you were at the Women's March? I saw three of you because I never because there were one or two other people there. And I never did meet up with the whole church. But did you see all the hands that went up? There were a lot of people. And there were outside agitators. Did you see some folks? There were folks who wanted to agitate. But the folks on the march didn't engage with them. Because we have to know when we're doing something, we have to know when to engage, when that's fruitful, and when not to. When is it useful to go up to somebody? So I'm going to tell you something I did that was really stupid a couple weeks ago. Not that I ever do stupid things, ever in my life. But I was in Common Grounds. I always call it that. That Common Grounds was a different coffee shop that I used to go to. I was in Grounds Central Station a couple weeks ago, sitting there having my cup of coffee. Now, I want you to understand that this was for me, yes, I was at work, but I was taking a moment outside of the church, right? I went into the coffee shop for a moment of, you know, not being engaged in everything, right? For a moment of downtime. Yeah, if a parishioner walked in, if one of you walked in, I would have gladly engaged with you, but it was a moment of peace for me, I thought. And the only people in there were me and the barista, and it wasn't Matt the owner. It was just me and the barista. And then this guy walks in, a guy I do not know. And he starts going off with the barista about reverse discrimination and how women aren't in engineering and math and science because women just don't want to be. And And there was a smart thing I could have done, and there was a stupid thing I could have done. And the smart thing would have been, tune it out, let it go, I don't know this guy. And the stupid thing, option two, would be, engage this man I do not know, and, you know, let him have it, you know, not yell at him, but, you know, try and engage him in a logical conversation about why he's so wrong. And I I chose option B. And, you know, that was just wrong. I didn't know this guy from Adam. He didn't know me. I wasn't going to change his mind. We didn't have any relationship. Now, there were things, I was not being inappropriate in my conversation with him. I wasn't yelling at him. I was using a lot of I statements. But I wasn't, I mean, it wasn't an inappropriate conversation. It was just the wrong level of conversation for somebody I had no relationship with. Everything is relational. The appropriate thing would have been to let it go. But I recognized later on, you know, I felt like it was my downtime, and here this guy comes in, and I couldn't not hear this conversation, and it was invading my space. And it was foolish, and I own that. But it didn't, you know, it just wound me up. And I didn't change his mind. When we engage in conflict in the world, there are things we can do that are productive, and there are things that are not productive, and there are things that are counterproductive, right? So it's good to know how to do these things. It's good to know that there are things we can do. It's good to know that we have rights. The Constitution, which we heard this morning, gives us rights. Don't let people gaslight you. Speaking up for yourself and holding our government accountable is not treason. Despite what the Ann Coulters, and yes, I named her, what the Ann Coulters of this world want to tell you, do not let those people gaslight you. It is not treason to hold our government accountable and to say, excuse me, I do believe that's unconstitutional. It is not treason to question the government. It is treason to give aid and comfort to the enemy and to incite to riot and to, you know, call for the armed rebellion against the established government. There is a line, but it is not treason to question the government. And you have the right to redress. You have the right to petition the government. But how do we use that? Does it do us well to have these petty fake fights within each other? Does it do us well to nitpick about, well, that wasn't that person was not perfectly on board. That group was not, they only just came over. Do you know the petty fights that I'm talking about? The blogs about, well, the pink hats were silly, and it just was, oh, for heaven's sakes, can you find something better to talk about? Did anybody see that? People start writing about that. Well, you're just not going to accomplish anything that way. That's really the fight you want to pick? Let's not. If someone is willing to work with you, work with that person. Now, are there times when people who work with us say foolish or hurtful things. Does that ever happen? It does. It does. But do we call them out in public? Is that the thing to do? Is the way to accomplish things and gain more support to publicly shame people who are, for the most part, working with us? Or would it be better to build relationships and say, you know, I felt that I wasn't being heard, and as a woman, I can't speak as a person of color, but, you know, or as a whatever I am, I felt that I was disrespected. Can we talk about this? But maybe not public shaming, right? Remembering that one of the most effective tools is to divide and conquer, right? If I can get the opposition, whatever the opposition is and whatever the issue is, to fight amongst themselves. You know what the OSS was? Anybody know what the OSS was? It was the, what was it? The precursor to the CIA, that's right. So there was an OSS manual about how to infiltrate organizations and how to subvert them. And one of the things that it talked about in this manual was to have lots of meetings, to get in to infiltrate and to make sure there are lots of meetings and to make sure everything goes by, take detailed minutes, make sure every I is dotted and every T is crossed, and to bog things down in procedure. Now, if you've worked with me here, you know that I think we ought to pay attention to our policies. We ought to know what we're doing. But that doesn't mean that there's no room for innovation, that there's no room for taking an idea and kind of running with it a little bit, right? There's a balance. One of the greatest ways to bog down an organization is to, you know, oh, we can't do that. Oh, we can't because, oh, we have to, well, let's meet about it. Let's meet. If you meet forever, anybody here ever see The Life of Brian? A wonderfully theological film. It is, actually, in an offbeat kind of way. And there's a moment, now, if you're not familiar with the politics in Ireland and the north of Ireland in particular, you're going to miss quite a lot in that movie. That might surprise you, I don't know. But there's the Judean People's Front and the People's Front of Judea, which is really all about the splinter groups in the north of Ireland. And there's a point at the end where Brian is on the cross and Judith comes and says, "We've made a resolution. We have a strong statement." Well, that's great. So I want to tell you that this can be a powerful tool. You can use Twitter for quick communications. You can use other social media for quick communications and for organizing quickly. And there is such a thing as what's called clicktivism, which is signing your name to letters and stuff, but there's also what's called slacktivism. Anybody heard of slacktivism? Liking something on Facebook and changing your Facebook picture isn't going to accomplish stuff. Might make you feel better, but that doesn't really engage in conflict in the world. Engaging in conflict is dangerous. Being on Facebook is safe, but engaging in the world, that's dangerous. But that is what being a community of faith calls us to do. That is the danger of being a religious community. So, anybody know Greek? Well, I don't know Greek either, but I know it. But when you go to seminary, you learn a few things here and there. The word martyr comes from the Greek word martus, and the original meaning is to witness. to stand witness. People are filming things now and calling people out on stuff. So marching is fine for getting us energized, but marching isn't going to accomplish stuff. Maybe you've heard of this indivisible guide. Now, I'm not one for thumping Bibles much, because I feel like when they get thumped too much, some of the important verses fall out. But this guide was written by congressional staffers and tells you about how to actually get the attention of your congressman. So you know what's going on now with town halls? And they're being avoided. People are demanding town halls with their representatives. Just the other day, I was going to lunch here in Manassas, and there was a representative who was avoiding constituents who were demanding a town hall. Not my representative, but might be yours. People are holding their representatives, their elected officials, accountable. This is important, but you have to get out there. I know you're talking about putting a banner up. There's danger in that, right? But it means being out there. That's what it means to be in community together. There is danger in being out and being recognized and standing up. But that's how things get accomplished. It might seem like getting in somebody's face is the dangerous thing. Well, yeah, I suppose if you get in somebody's face, you can get punched, and there's a danger in that. But that's not really how we accomplish things. We accomplish things with relationship. This congregation is involved in voice, and there's a training coming up this Tuesday evening. And if you can go to that, that's fabulous. And if you can come to the voice actions, that's fabulous, because we use our power. We use our power to demand change. There is power in numbers. And there's power in standing up together. So in the year 66 of the Common Era, 66, what has that got to do? There was a tax revolt. The Romans wanted to tax the Jews and put some stuff in the temple, and the Jews were just having no part of this, and you don't need the whole history. What I want to tell you is that the Jews stood together and said, we're not having any part of this. And when the Romans said, oh, then we'll kill you all, and the Jews were in the stadium, they got down on their knees and bared their necks. They called the bluff. Now, if you're going to call a bluff, you have to be ready. They were prepared to die. Pacifism is not the same as cowardice. They were prepared to die. But the optics of that, even without Twitter, were just too bad. And the governor was just backed off, because he was not going to slaughter all those Jews in front of everybody. So I'm asking you if you're prepared to be a truly religious community together, to engage, to do the work of repairing the world together, to living all seven principles, not just the first one and the seventh one, but those five in between, the use of the democratic process in our churches and in society at large, to standing up for that, to being out there. I'm not asking you to bare your necks, to put your lives on the line. Only you know how far you're willing to put yourselves out there, but I'm asking you if you're willing to put yourselves out there to some extent. How much are you willing to be out in the world, to engage in conflict, to build relationship, to know when to leave it alone, because sometimes that's the smart thing to do, to learn more about how to do this. To do the work. Who is with me? All right. If you're with me, you're with each other. We are stronger together. May we all be witnesses. Namaste.